Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Young talent is to be found, believe me, it is here in gospel music, and you don't have to look very far to find good talent. Some people may question that throughout all of their searching of gospel music, because some people think it's just for an older demographic, or it's a dying art. And I think part of what we try to do here is tell you, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. Welcome the Ball Brothers to our studio. And guys, it's an honor to talk to you, because I've followed you now for a few years, and I really like the sound you guys pull out as a quartet of brothers.
Yes.
And so we have around the microphones Andrew, Stephen, Josh, and Daniel Ball, the Ball Brothers. You guys obviously are all related, so you grow up singing together, or what was the musical makeup of the group early on?
Okay, our parents are both very musical. Our dad was a music minister at a church in Illinois for nearly 20 years, and our mom played the piano. So we grew up around music a lot, and we started at a young age, started singing in church when we were probably about 8, 6, 4, and 2 was probably some of our first specials that we ever sang in church.
It's 2 years between each of you.
Yep. Yeah. Almost exactly. So. Started at a young age, and then mainly just did church specials there for a long time, and then finally decided to go full time. So,
wow. Now, how many is in the family total?
There's seven children altogether. The four boys are the oldest, us four, and then we have three younger sisters.
Okay. Are they going to pull a trio out of that?
I don't think so. Our youngest sister, Naomi, is 12, and so they're still in school and different things. So.
Gotcha.
That and we don't want them to get out and sing, because then we'd have to get real jobs. They could out sing us.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
Wow. So who's the oldest, and what are the ages now, if you don't mind saying?
I'm Andrew. I'm the oldest. I'm 30. Then Daniel is 28. Uh-huh. Steven's 26, and Josh is 24.
Gotcha. And again, 2 years apart, it's not bad. Was it? You think it was planned that way, or?
I don't know. You'd have to ask our parents.
I don't know how anyone in their right mind could plan on having four boys so close together.
And then the girls, are they like after?
There's 4 years between Josh and the first girl, and then 4 years between
girls. Cool. Well, the Ball Brothers, I first came across you guys when I was contracted to do some work for Ernie Haas, and he put together a summer tour, and you guys were on the bill for that. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool, because, you know, I think it's no secret that Bill Gaither has taken Ernie under his wing and has helped Ernie and Signature Sound get such a platform. And not that they weren't great before Bill started using them, because they really were. I was so impressed with Signature Sound early on. But then to see Ernie kind of following that model of embracing young talent and continuing on. And what year was that? Do you remember?
2006.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago. And as a matter of fact, you guys were really good. You go there and you think, now they're just going to be an opening act, you know, but you don't expect much out of a quote opening act, but you guys really, tell me about that. Okay, you're traveling with a quartet that at this point is very well established and is known for being flashy, known for doing their thing, man, and they can draw the crowd. And I could understand, and you were a trio at the time, maybe that's the answer to this question, but going before Signature Sound, was there a lot of pressure, or did you guys feel like you just wanted to hurry up and sing your stuff and get out of the way, or what was going on?
It was a fun learning experience for us. We're sponges, and so we like to learn in whatever environment we're in. Yeah. So we'd rather learn from the best than anyone else, and so we felt like we were learning from the very best in the field at the time. And it was a learning experience. Every night we would, before the concerts, we'd get some time to spend with Ernie, and he would go through our songs and say, work on this, and he can just draw on a wealth of experience with being with the Cathedrals for all those years. Yeah. And so it was great. We just looked at it as a learning experience for us to be able to get in this and hit the ground running, so to speak.
How do you find you guys?
Oddly enough, it's through basketball. He joked about that on the tour, and people, you know, what is it? Was it really basketball? We had just started traveling full time and singing, and there was a concert not too far from us. The concert promoter knew that we were, you know, like to play basketball, and that we were just getting started, and he was doing some work with Ernie. So he contacted us and said, "Hey, if you guys are interested, I can get it set up to where you guys could play basketball against Ernie before, you know, and the guys before the concert." We was like, "Oh, sure, that would be great."
Wow.
So we set it up, and man, we were all pumped up because we're like, you know, Ernie's, you know, a couple of years older than us, so we might be able to outrun him. But
yeah,
he got really hot on three-pointers, and they actually beat us.
Sad.
So we said, well, we want to challenge you right to another game. So the next game, we lost by like 3 or 4 points. And then Ernie's like, well, I heard you guys sing as well. You want to do a couple numbers in the concert tonight? We said, well, sure, we'd love to. Wow. And from that, that's how we actually got introduced to Ernie and the guys. And, you know, next thing you know, he was calling us up saying, hey, I got the summer tour. You know, I'd be interested in you guys. Of course, we were thrilled and said yes immediately.
We had to clear our one date off our calendar for the summer. And we'll make room.
What city was that in that you played?
That's Huntsville, Alabama.
Really?
That's where we first met him. And we live in Chickamauga, Georgia, which is next to Chattanooga, Tennessee. So.
Okay. So a long way from Illinois.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
So tell me about that. You grew up in Illinois. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Grew up in Illinois. So what made the move? And were there any stops in between there in Georgia?
Well, we lived in Illinois from the time all of us were born up until 2001. And we moved to Arkansas for a couple years. And our dad went around and did some family conferences. He would go speak at a family conference, and when he would do those, we would go out and sing at him.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of what got us interested in the idea of traveling around and singing full time. And in 2005, he moved to Chickamauga, Georgia, and took a church there. About the same time, we started contemplating really going out and doing this as a full time ministry. Right. And so we made the transition to Chickamauga basically because we thought, you know, it's a good area for us to be based at, not too far from Nashville, not too far from Atlanta, some areas where we anticipated singing quite a bit. And so we ended up moving there shortly thereafter and launching off traveling full time. And it was just a short time after that where we were introduced to Ernie and jumped right on the summer tour, and things took off from there. So,
well, speaking of taking off, what all happened? I mean, are there a series of events? You just get more exposure, and then people start calling and booking dates.
It was a little bit odd for us. We did the summer tour, and of course, we were on the Getaway Jordan DVD, and we were able to guest sing on there. And whenever you record those videos, sometimes it's a year, year and a half before they actually come out.
Yeah.
And so after we did the summer tour, it was kind of, you know, there was a little bit of a lull before things started to actually come in. And, you know, when you get dates scheduled, it's not for next weekend, it's for next year.
Right.
And so really through 2008, 2007, we picked up slowly, but 2008, we really started picking up steam. And then 2009, this year, has just been crazy busy. We're starting to try to pull back a little bit now here and there because we could literally be gone every day of the week and we don't want to be.
Wow. Now, what about family now? I mean, you guys, you still live at home, or do you all have your own places? Are you married?
All four of us are married. All four of us have our own places. Josh is the newlywed. He just got married 5 weeks ago.
Wow.
And so, and then the three older ones have children. I have two children. Andrew has two children. Stephen has one. And, of course, Josh, married for 5 weeks, has none as of yet.
You guys started out as the trio, and we've talked about that. And then you've just recently added Josh. You're the newest, right? And
that's right.
So what'd your wife say? Okay, you got to have a job. So what are you going to do? Well, I'll sing. I mean, is that all you know to do? All four of you? I mean, have you done any other thing besides singing?
I'm in high school and stuff. Our uncle had a construction business, and we've worked on that, and a little bit through college worked on that. But what we've always wanted to do was sing full time, and we're glad that my construction days are over and sing full time now. So it's not...
Oh, but you just wait. If you get a bus, some of that may pay off.
I get to be a mechanic.
Yeah, right. The Ball Brothers are our guests today. You're listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friend.
Moses stood at the top of a mountain, wanting to see your face. You said no one had ever seen you and lived. It's just more than he could take. So you covered him. When Moses saw that day, changed his life. Lord, do it for me this time. Give me a glimpse of your glory. I want to see you shine. Give me a testimony of how you changed my life. Lord, mortal. glimpse of your glory. We've gathered in this place to worship you. Our hearts are humbled and sincere. We can feel your presence, hear your voice. It's obvious you are here. And all I'm asking for is to know you more. That's all I ever really need. So when you pass by, Lord, open my eyes, reveal yourself to me. Give me a glimpse of your glory. I want to see you shine. Find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. Suddenly fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still we sail on knowing that our Lord is in control. Sometimes he calms the storms with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. He has a reason for each trial that we pass through in life. And though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. Whoa, whoa. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still. Jesus' child.
There's a new project out by the Ball Brothers. That's what we're hearing songs from today. The title is Breakthrough. It's on Songgarden Music Group. And by the way, we won't wait till the end to get this out. What's your website?
TheBallBrothers.com.
And on there, you can keep up to date. You guys are doing, since you're young, I guess I'll ask the question. Do you guys do all the Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that to stay in touch? MySpace?
Yeah, we do. YouTube, MySpace, Facebook, and have not started Twitter yet, but yeah, looking into the possibility of it.
Get on it. I know a lot of old people who are on Twitter, so you're yes, behind it. Yeah. Now, tell me about this. What do you think is the future of all of those things we just talked about? I mean, I kind of see MySpace waning and Facebook has picked up so much steam. Do you agree?
I believe so. I think it was kind of interesting to see the transition between the two, because MySpace was all the rage and it just seemed like it fell off the face of the earth. And next, you know, Facebook. And I think the challenge for us is to always kind of be looking ahead to see what the next thing is coming up. So there's not a lag. Sometimes with Southern gospel music, because it's a kind of an older crowd that listens to it, you know, we still have people that come to our concerts sometimes and ask for cassette tapes, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, exactly.
You know, we want to make sure, as especially as young guys, that we stay on top of the, you know, trends in technology and, you know, watch for that next upcoming thing, whether it be Twitter or, you know.
We're actually looking in on YouTube on starting to do a kind of reality show on YouTube about the Ball Brothers, just the stuff that we do. We have some crazy video clips and stuff on there now, but that we've never really sat down and edited down a weekend, what it would be like to go out on a weekend with us. And we thought some folks would find that interesting, because we goof off constantly. It's not just during our concerts, it's all the time. So it would be interesting. I think our wives would probably get a little nervous if they saw all the crazy stuff that we tried while we're out on the road, you know, driving through the night and drinking an energy drink to stay awake, and you know, whatever's going on.
Well, with the technology side of things and what you're talking about with YouTube and all, I've learned that, I mean, I have a friend, he's an old guy, and he says, you know, when his ministry was told about the internet and getting a website, he said, no, we don't need a website. That's just a fad. And, you know, how wrong was that?
Yes.
But, and so I've learned that, you know, you may still have some fads out there. I mean, maybe Twitter's a fad. Maybe Twitter will be gone tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It doesn't take much to jumpstart it, to get on board with it. It's free. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you? There's millions of people on there. So I think that's kind of, and you, I mean, the oldest in this group's 30. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you don't remember the days of the 78 records or did you even listen to records growing up?
You know, oddly, I did, and that's only because our uncle had a large collection of old Kingsman's records, Cathedral's records, and
Inspirations.
And so when I was about 18 years old, he came to me and said, I've got this huge collection of records, and he said, you know, I know you guys really love some of the gospel music, so he let me just keep them for a while. So I had to go out and find a record player, and that actually, you know, got us in touch with some of the old songs that we probably would have never been familiar with had we not, you know, listened to some of those old records.
Right.
And then also just some stylistically, some things that, you know, like, man, that was great. You know, we don't hear any more of that type of music anymore.
Well, and the old way of doing things may be coming back around, I understand, by talking to people in the music industry. You talked about the older demographic. And so, to a large degree, if it's an older audience, they may go buy CDs and still like to hold the tangible product in their hand. Mm-hmm. But the music industry seems to be going to more of a single-based purchase or sales, where you buy the song that you want and you don't get...
A la carte.
Yeah, exactly. How do you think... And again, I hope it's not unfair, but being a young group, maybe not having experienced the old way of doing it, where you sold an entire album, are you guys prepared for selling one song at a time, or have you been faced with that in the music industry in your recording process?
Yeah, we've looked into that in this project and try to get every song to stand on its own and not just in the course of the project. So we think that every song will stand on its own, and there will be different people that will like every single different song on the CD as their favorite. But, I mean, there's different things that we've been thinking about doing. I mean, obviously, CD sales are still good for the concert, but we have all of our music available on iTunes, Amazon, Napster, any digital legitimate digital download site that you can think of. We've made it available on there. So to kind of bridge the gap between the generations, because we find that we have a wide demographic that follows us. Yeah. We have very young kids that will come to our concerts and enjoy the same concert with their grandparents. Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of the market that we've been able to find, is to kind of cross the barriers of age and get something that everyone would like.
Have you been surprised that you get those kids who come and who are genuinely interested in a quartet? I mean, that just sounds...
Yeah, it's not as surprising to us, just because that's the way we were when we were younger. We were some of those kids that would go to the Cathedral's concert when we were, 10, 11, 12, and want to get backstage to talk to George and Glenn, and just that was the highlight of our year.
Right.
And so whenever we see young kids come to our concerts now, we always want to take the time to be able to talk to them. And it's exciting to know that maybe we would have the same effect that some of those singers had on us.
The Ball Brothers are in our studio today, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with their new project that's releasing. It's called Breakthrough.
Every day, every hour, every minute, right down to the second, is love. It stays with me everywhere I go. Every day, every hour, every minute, right down to the second, is love. It stays with me everywhere I go.
Every day,
every day,
every hour,
every hour,
every minute,
every minute,
right down to the second, is love. It stays with me everywhere I go. So every day,
every hour,
every minute,
every minute,
right down to the second, is love. It stays with me everywhere I go. On the mountain,
on the mountain,
in the light of his love,
in the valley,
without any help from above, morning, noon, or evening, in the middle of the night,
I've been redeemed, I've been forgiven.
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. That's a song from the project Breakthrough by the Ball Brothers. And they're all here. They started off, I guess, as a trio. And what year did you really start doing this thing where you said, this is going to be what we're going to do? Anyway, I know you guys sang as kids, but when did you really set out and really try to make this thing happen?
2005 is when we sat down and said, let's do this full time. But we weren't in the industry. We didn't know anybody in the industry. So we took much of 2005 and kind of laid the groundwork. We started working on our first project. We started trying to, you know, we built a website. And outside of that, we really didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And so we kind of took most of 2005 and just kind of structured ourselves and just kind of said, okay, what do we need to have? What do we need? You know, what's the type of songs we want to sing? What stylistically do we want? And really at the beginning of 2006 is when our CD was finally completed and we finally started traveling, singing. And it was in the summer of 2006 when we jumped on tour with Ernie. We say really 2006 is when we really started traveling full time and singing. Wow. And then it was in the beginning of 2007 where we made the transition from trio to quartet. And the reason why we did that is we had four brothers.
And everyone always said, why is your younger brother not up there with you? Why? The reason was is because he ran the sound for us. We didn't have a sound guy at first, and he was interested in those type of things. And so in 2007, we were able to hire a sound man, which freed him up to come up and sing and also expanded what we could do musically a lot.
All
the different harmonies that we could explore, the a cappella things that we could do. And made it a lot more enjoyable for us to give us freedom of arranging, you know, different things that we could hear.
And so now they are the quartet. When I heard you again, it was with the trio, and you guys had a cool sound then. And and I'm anxious to get through this whole project to be able to experience it as the quartet. Easy listening, maybe described, or even maybe some jazz harmonies in there. Where did you draw from style outside of Southern Gospel? Was it all? I mean, because I hear some different influences in there. It has a cool, smooth sound.
Yeah, we're extreme. I guess either way, whenever you look at us stylistically, we do some very, very conservative things. On the Getaway Jordan video, I sing The Mighty Power of God. It's a very high churchy a cappella song, which is probably more starchy than you would hear most Southern Gospel groups sing on one end. Right. And then at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, we might do some more contemporary things than you'd hear a traditional quartet do.
Yeah.
But the harmony was somewhat based out of necessity. We looked at the dynamics of some of the groups that were out there on the road, and we realized we didn't have the screaming high tenor and the boomy low bass.
Right.
So we thought, how can we develop a sound? And we liked the sound of, one, the Booth Brothers, how they could blend, and it was smooth and rich. And then we looked at that, and we thought, well, let's look at the musical style. We grew up in the Midwest, and so Southern Gospel wasn't exactly readily available to us. We didn't hear it on the radio. We heard the gospel greats or something like that, but not much Southern Gospel influence. And so we kind of came from a different place musically with a little bit of big band influence in our music. Uh-huh. We'll use orchestration quite a bit in our music and really grab stuff from several different areas and try to blend it in a melting pot and kind of make it work within the genre of Southern Gospel.
Keep me on the wheel. Keep me, keep me on the wheel.
Lord, I'm your child, and you are my father. I am the clay, and you are the potter. So keep me on the wheel.
Keep me on the wheel.
I want you to keep me on the wheel.
Keep me on the wheel.
You know I'm gonna need a little more than now and then to keep me looking up and never turning back again. So keep me on the wheel.
Keep me
on the wheel. Lord, I'm your child, and you are my father. I am the clay, and you are the potter. So keep me on the wheel.
Keep me on the wheel.
I want you to keep me on the wheel. Never turning back again. So keep me on the wheel.
Keep me
on the wheel.
You know I get so willful when I'm going my own way. I need your loving hand to guide me each and every day. You
chasing rod is welcome when I'm stepping out of line. I wanna do your will, so let me say it one more time.
Oh Lord, I'm your child, and you are my father.
I am the clay, and you are the potter. So keep me on the wheel. Keep me on the wheel.
So keep me on the wheel.
I said keep me on the wheel.
I want you to keep me on the wheel.
Keep me on the
Lord,
wheel.
Lord, you know I'm gonna need a little more than now and then to keep me looking up and never turning back again. So keep me on the wheel,
my Lord.
Keep me on the wheel. I wanna be more like you with every passing day. Whenever I hear you speak, I wanna trust and obey. So keep me on the wheel.
Keep me,
yeah.
Keep me,
just keep me on the wheel.
You think being blood brothers really helps your blend?
I think it does. The main thing is, and we just being in the studio is, you know, because we're brothers, we've been singing together so long, and this is something that happens in our concerts quite often, is we will switch parts or change parts, and we can do it just by looking at each other and know, yeah. Okay, I'm going here, you go there. And so we've had people come to our concerts, well, who was singing tenor and who was singing bass and who was singing baritone? Yeah. And we all have the general parts that we tend to hold down, but throughout the course of the concert, we'll switch 7-8 times. Sometimes on the same song, we'll switch parts 2 or 3 times. And so that's kind of fun because you can see people in the crowd looking at you like, wait a second, I thought you were singing tenor, and now you're singing lead and somebody else. And so we kind of have fun with that. But I think because we're brothers, we just know kind of ahead of time what each other's thinking before we ever get to that part.
Do you have some kind of generalization, though? I mean, one of you typically is going to sing the lower half. One of you going to sing kind of a
We do mid-range. A little bit. I usually sing the higher ranges. Daniel usually holds down the lead area. Uh-huh. And then Steven and Josh hold down the baritone and bass parts. Gotcha. And what we found with the bass part especially was to be creative with it. A lot of times with Josh, he roams between, you know, sometimes he's below the baritone, sometimes he comes up above the baritone or even above the lead and hits optional harmony parts, which to us was, you know, just a fun sound to really tighten up those harmonies and get them a lot closer together than just having them spread, you know, to the max.
Yeah. Steven has been obviously quiet throughout this.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. How long have you been married, Steven?
I've been married for 3 years.
Did you meet your, you probably didn't meet her on the road, did you?
No, I didn't. I knew my wife for quite a while. I met her at a teen conference I went to when I was a teenager, and she didn't talk to me at all. And while we were out traveling with Dad, he was preaching at a place, and we were singing, at her dad's church. And I tried to get her phone number, and weird course of events, 10 months later, we got married. She wouldn't talk to me, and I called her back. And
being the daughter of a preacher, it's close. It's kind of, I mean, it's ministry. So she, I guess, that may have prepared her for you doing what you're doing now. I think that'd be a tough place, or to try to convince a wife or a future wife or whatever that let's get married, let's settle down. Except for settle down, and as it translates to me, is actually going on the road every weekend right. and leaving you at home. You know, how does that work? I mean, your wives, I don't guess, travel with you, do they?
They're free to go with us on any weekend that they'd like to. That's a
disclaimer that you have to put there. Because,
right, and we do, especially if we go to
this coming weekend. Yeah, we're in Illinois this coming weekend, and all the wives are going and all the kids are going. And it's normally not like that, but there's my family, my wife's family is in Illinois, my in-laws, and Andrew's wife's family is in Illinois. So they want to go there see family. But anytime we go to Florida, most of the time the wives feel the calling of the Lord to go to Florida with us. And
if we sing at Dollywood or Silver Dollar City,
the family goes to Scotland.
And
our wives went with us there because they thought that would be neat to go to. And we had a great time there and they enjoyed going. So they would go with us more than probably a typical group. And because we're all family, it works out a little bit better to get everybody together to go somewhere than if we were all, you know, from different families.
They kind of hold off for the fun dates instead of just
yeah, they get to pick and choose.
Yes,
I don't think it's fair at all.
Right. No. No.
I tried to choose to stay home this. No, I can't.
If you wanna build a bridge, you gotta get down in the water. You gotta do some hard work where it's dangerous and steep. So the question then is this: is it worth the aggravation for some reconciliation where the chasm cuts so deep? There's no easy way to help a stubborn world to change. If you wanna build a bridge, if you wanna tell the truth, you gotta find someone who's listening and expects some opposition. Cause being honest is a risk, so I guess you'll have to choose.
It's your decision.
Is the trouble you uncover to shine a light. You gotta take it to the darkness where the world can be so heartless. You may have to go alone, so you really must decide.
You must decide.
Is the difference that you make,
is it worth it?
What the heavy toll it's taken just to bring a little hope.
Oh yeah.
There's no easy way to help a stubborn world to change. And there's no free ride on the road to sacrifice.
To
a better place. You've got to pay.
in that cheap motel. She read the story about Jesus and the woman at the well. She found herself inside those pages and wondered how she had got so far gone, so far away from home. And she cried, I'll do anything, I'll pay any price, do whatever it takes to make something of my life. If there's a way to start all over and wipe the slate clean, Jesus stepped out from his throne, and he said, I'll do anything, I'll pay any price, do whatever it takes to make something of their lives. I'll make a way to start and wipe the slate completely clean. I'd do anything. I'll take up that cross, lay down my life, and go to Calvary.
Brothers in the studio today, and their new project is titled Breakthrough. It's with Songgarden Music Group. Tell me about the differences in putting this record together. Obviously, it's from a trio to a quartet, so that's a difference. But as far as doing your first project, which was self-titled, mm-hmm. As far as producing, who produced it? Who was your, how'd you get songs for that one versus this one? Were there some similarities?
There was the first CD that we tried to collect material for. It was a little bit of a challenge for us because, you know, we're sending out saying we're the Ball Brothers and people are, who is that?
Yeah.
You know, never heard of us before. And so we went through a lot of material, but we found going through this one, the difference between our first project and this project is we understood better what we needed for our concerts and really the type of churches and the people that we're singing for, what songs we needed. So it was a little bit more challenging this time around because we were looking for specific message-driven songs mm-hmm. that we knew would relate to the crowd that we were singing to. So we really had to comb through quite a bit of material. And it was a collective effort between all of us guys were, you know, independently looking through, you know, different records and different things. We had a ton of songwriters send us a lot of good material. But mm-hmm. once again, we were just looking for, you know, just It had to be just right. And then the record company brought a couple songs to us, and Jason Webb and Darren Rust produced the CD, co-produced the CD together, and they were contacting people right and left. So we spent all the way up, actually, while we were in the studio, we were still looking through mm-hmm. material and looking for the right songs for this project.
Right.
And what we found was, as we went through this project, we have a very wide range of music styles on this project. From the first title, Every Day, Every Hour, is an old cathedral song. It has mm-hmm. a little bit of a jazz style to it, we have an a cappella song there, to power ballads, to He Did What I Couldn't Do, which is more of a contemporary mm-hmm. tune. And, so once again, it just has, it's across the board, but we really felt that, these were it was the message that we were really looking for in this project, the message of the song.
It's the world premiere on Daniel Britton Friends of Breakthrough, the latest project from the Ball Brothers.
God looked down from heaven and saw the pain that I was in. My life was so confused and blinded by my sin. He knew there was nothing in this world that I could do. That's why he set aside to die for me.
Traveling till the time that I make it home. this world's glory.
Brothers, it's their world premiere here on Daniel Britt and Friends. The project's titled Breakthrough, and I am impressed by these guys and think they've come so far, really, in just a couple of years' time here of being out there professionally.
You guys realize how maybe easy you've had it? Well, you started in 2005 or 06 in one of your first tours with Signature Sound. And have you done more with them since that tour? Have you been able to hook up with those guys, play basketball again? Or
We've run into them at some Gaither concerts and different things. We still text message them and contact them, you know, quite frequently. Matter of fact, this last Christmas and this coming Christmas, we're doing an entire Christmas tour with Roy Webb.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to stay in contact with him quite a bit. He's a hysterical guy that, you know, we just have a lot of fun hanging out with him. And, you know, especially on the Christmas tour, it's us and Roy back together. And,
right.
You know, we've did quite a few crazy things on the Christmas tour. And so we stay in contact with him, you know, quite a bit. We have not had a lot of opportunities to sing, mainly because of our schedule has really, you know, just exploded, which was what Ernie's goal was. He said, I want to get you guys started, and, you know, you need to build your base now and really build your concerts and establish yourselves, you know, as the Ball Brothers. And so that's what the goal was, and that's what we've been working towards. And God's just really blessed us, and we're really appreciative of that.
Got any gimmicks up your sleeve, like short ties or anything like that?
No, and that was one thing on the summer tour. We Ernie said, you know, I don't, and we came to him and said, we want to be the Ball Brothers. We don't want to be, you know, copycat Signature Sound, you know, mini Signature Sounds. So, you know, we have our own style, our own, you know, stage presence. And but that, you know, that's just something that even now we're still developing that and still working on that.
The Ball Brothers and the new project is out. It's called Breakthrough. Run, don't walk to get that. And it's available on your website, right?
Yes, it will be. Yes. And also it will be available on iTunes.
And the website is?
TheBallBrothers.com.
BallBrothers. Not easy enough to remember.
Yeah, and if you can't find the website, just Google Ball Brothers and it will come up on there. So,
you guys are based out of, say it again?
Chickamauga, Georgia. It's an actual place. We have no idea how to spell it, but it
sounds like a line out of an Alan Jackson song. You just expect that to come out after.
Yeah.
You guys have fun as you tour, and we'll be following you as well.
been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.